Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title at the festival.
My name is Ilya Tovbus. I am the senior programmer for the Virginia Film Festival.
And it's returning to Charlottesville, Virginia from Wednesday, November 2nd, all the way through November 6th. So, hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so I want to get into the lineup, you know, day by day. But before we even do any of that, big picture stuff. What year's the festival in? Do you know how much it's grown, or where are we coming out of COVID? You know, I set the stage of where the Virginia Film Festival currently is.
Yeah, absolutely. We're celebrating our 35th anniversary. It's been a very storied history, and as with many other festivals and arts exhibitors of all sorts, the last few years have naturally been a little bit rocky and different due to the pandemic. And not that we're entirely past it, but we're feeling much more optimistic about returning sort of 2019 levels and prior. So we did have a fully in-person festival in 2021, but it was significantly scaled down, both in terms of numbers of events and numbers of people that actually felt comfortable attending and in the theater. This year we are back, not in full force to pre-pandemic levels. We're still maybe about 70-80%, but considerably all the way back. It is fully in person, it's fully in theaters. We have a lot of special guests of all kinds coming in, awardees, honorees, tributees, just incredible conversations, panelists, Q&As, et cetera. So all of that is sort of back, and we're hoping to, you know, if not necessarily get past the pandemic, find our new normal this year.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. Welcome back. What are all the venues? Cause you know, up here in DC, we'll hear, you know, down in Charlottesville. So they'll head towards the, you know, the campus there, but where, once they get there, you know, what exact venues?
Yeah. So one of the really cool things, we are a program of the University of Virginia. However, the festival is for the community at large. It is not specifically for students, or at least not exclusively for students. The majority of our theaters are actually clustered in downtown, the historic downtown mall in Charlottesville, not on the grounds of UVA. We do have one theater on the grounds of UVA, which is the Culbreth Theater. And then a little over a mile from there are the rest of our core venues. So the Paramount Theater is a historic, iconic 1,000-plus seat theater where we have our biggest major events. We also use much of the Violet Crown, which is a local multiplex, which is just a couple of blocks down. Again, on the downtown mall. We also use the historic Vinegar Hill Theater there as well. And then right sort of nestled in between those is the Code Building, where we have a series of panels on Saturday, Jefferson Theater, where some of our parties happen, Three Notched, and a few of these other places where we kind of have ancillary programs. But one of the really cool things, if you're coming from a place like DC, is rather than having to go to a whole nother town or get on the metro or even drive, once you are at one of our core theaters, you can pretty much walk in 2 to 3 minutes to another one.
That's really cool. All right, cool. Well, thanks for laying out where we go. And without further ado, let's go into the lineup a little bit. All right, so it all kicks off Wednesday, November 2nd, with a really big movie that a lot of people are looking forward to because it's a sequel to a film that was really acclaimed and popular at the box office. So tell us what we got on Wednesday.
Yes, on Wednesday night, we kick off with Glass Onion and Knives Out Mystery. The Glass Onion might be less familiar unless you've been reading the news or in hit with ads, but the Knives Out part, as you referenced, is a sequel to the first Knives Out. I had the chance actually to see the world premiere of this film in Toronto. I was very lucky. And it is not only a standalone sequel, you do not need to have seen the first one, though I certainly encourage you to do so. With the exception of Daniel Craig's Southern Sleuth, who's back, Benoit Blanc, it is pretty much an all-new cast, completely different venue. It's much larger in many ways, and you have folks like Ethan Hawke and Kate Hudson, Edward Norton, Janelle Monáe. There's so many, and twists and turns that I don't think we'll necessarily see coming. It's a lot of fun throughout, a great way to kick off the festival.
Awesome. Yes. Glass Onion and Knives Out Mystery. A great kickoff one. Okay. And then day two, Thursday, November 3rd. I know there's stuff like all the throughout the whole day, but do you want to pick maybe a film or two that, you know, to just to highlight? And this isn't saying it's, you know, better than the other ones, but just for our time purposes.
Yes, absolutely. So I'll start with one of the biggest, most high profile events we're doing in the festival, which is we are inaugurating a number of awards. We've had a tremendous and rich history in the 35 years of Virginia Virginia Film Festival, bringing in filmmakers from Shirley MacLaine to Spike Lee and Werner Herzog. But we have not traditionally done much in the way of awards, which is something that we are rectifying or changing this year. And our first big awardee is happening that night, Thursday night at 7:30. It's a film called Devotion, and we are honoring Jonathan Majors as our breakthrough star. For those in the know, they'll recognize him right off the bat. Of course, The Five Bloods, The Harder They Fall, Lovecraft Country. Really burst onto the scene with Last Black Man in San Francisco, which is just a fabulous film. And for those that might say, oh, those are kind of smaller indie titles, I meant to see one or two, he is going to be first with his film Devotion, which I'll come back to in a second. But if you don't know him now, early in 2023, he will be bursting onto screens everywhere. He plays a major leading role in Creed 3, which is coming out right at the beginning of the new year. He's also an Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and then is really the title character in the new Marvel Cinematic Universe that's hitting screens 24, 25. Won't give him a flavor there, but he is the guy.
He will be in Creed 3. He will be like what Mr. T was for Rocky 3. You know, he'll be the big bad opponent. But also tell us what Devotion itself is about, because that's what you're screening, right?
Absolutely. So we're screening Devotion, which we're thrilled to do and want to thank Sony for giving to us. Devotion follows the true life tale of the Navy's first African-American aviator, and that's Jesse Brown. And it's a little known story that I think this film, again, will rectify that. And he deserves all the claim and acknowledgement that perhaps not all of us are aware of him, and then also his wingman, Tom Hudner, as well. It's a fabulous tale. I think it'll give Maverick a run for its money in terms of aerial cinematography, heroism in our armed forces, and just a fabulous tale. And Jonathan Majors is so much of the film. Again, he plays the lead and does so tremendously.
Nice. That's high praise for Top Gun Maverick fans right there. All right. Anything else on that day you want to highlight, or is that good for the one big thing for that day?
The one other thing I'll point out, and I'll mention this is coming to small screens soon. So just about everything we're showing, you can't yet catch on small screens. One film that's going to be coming to Amazon soon, but I would highly encourage if people can seek it out, whether it's at the Virginia Film Fest or otherwise on a big screen, is Goodnight Oppie, which is about a Mars rover. It is a very optimistic film about what NASA and really scientists and engineers all over the world can do when working together. They have planned this 90-day mission for this robotic rover to be up on Mars, and it ended up through a series of incredible events being up there for over 15 years and saw literally generations of scientists study it and understand more about Mars. It's really fun. And somewhat secretly, I would say, if you're just reading the description, it has perhaps the best soundtrack in the whole festival.
Really? All right. Yeah. Not to mention some star-studded narration, right?
Absolutely. Some star-studded narration indeed from Angela Bassett.
And some Amblin Entertainment CGI. It's going to be good stuff. All right, cool. Well, that's a really powerful day, too, on Thursday. Let's move ahead to Friday, November 4th. What is sort of a standout film or two from that day?
Sure. So I'll mention here first in the afternoon at 4:30, we're showing a film, Corsage, which is the Austrian selection for the Oscars. So as I'm sure your listeners will know, each country gets to submit one film that they are contending for the best international feature film. And we have 11 of those playing in the festival. This one is from Austria, the film Corsage. It's very fun. It's a subversion, as Jessica Kang says, a variety of biopic and costume drama cliches. And I think that line, again, subversion of biopic and costume drama cliches, really hits it a notch in many ways. You would think this is a typical royal costume drama, but it features this woman, Sissy, played tremendously by Vicky Creeps, who really rebelled against this notion of being purely a figurehead and not a woman with a strong voice and opinions. And I'll just leave it there, but it's a whole lot of fun and very different than you might think a costume drama would be. Nice. Corsage out of Austria with Vicky Creeps.
And you'll recognize her from another costume drama with the Phantom Thread, the P.T. Anderson movie.
Right, indeed. Cool. That's right. Other kind of big films hitting the screen that night. I'll mention two more if I could.
Sure.
The first is She Said, which features Carey Mulligan and Zoe Kazan playing the New York Times real life reporters, Megan Twohy and Jody Cantor, who expose Harvey Weinstein's history of sexual misconduct and the furor that came with that, and also the difficulty that that reporting came with. And it's a fabulous account and dramatization of that history. This comes from Maria Schrader, who folks might recognize from Unorthodox, a series of huge hit on Netflix as well.
So is this going to be like this year's, you know, spotlight, kind of an investigative?
It's very, yeah, spotlight in nature, but obviously a different tale and a little bit more current of a scandal. Sure. But I think really important storytelling and beautifully done.
Very nice. And you said there was another one you wanted to talk about too?
I did. I want to talk about another one of our awardees, and this might be a little bit less on people's radar. It's a film called Stay Awake, which takes on, and I think in a very accessible way, some serious subject matter about the opioid epidemic and crisis. So this is coming from actually a local Virginia filmmaker, Jamie Sisley, who's an Emmy award-winning filmmaker, and features Chrissy Metz, who you recognize from This Is Us, as well as Wyatt Olaf and Finn Argus, younger actors from films like It and Netflix series and so forth. And is just an incredibly accessible look at something that I think is really important for us to reckon with, and that's certainly not over in our country, which is the opioid crisis and addiction to drugs. And it's a very personal tale. And we are honoring Jamie Sisley specifically at this screening with our first ever Governor Gerald L. Belisle's Founders Award. He was the governor, former governor, was the founder of the festival, recognizing a Virginia-based filmmaker. So thrilled for that one. And Chrissy Metz will be with us in person, which will be great to have her into the festival.
Very cool. And I think there'll be a Q&A afterwards with moderated by USA Today's Brian Truitt. So that'll be fun. Very cool. Thanks for highlighting the local scene. I know it's the Virginia Film Office is sort of helping present this one. So that's cool. All right. And then moving to Saturday, November 5th. What do we got for the penultimate day?
So there, it starts to get very chock full on the weekend. I would say if you're coming down from D.C. or anywhere from outside the region, really try to circle that weekend because it's morning to night. There's way too much to cover. So I'll just give a couple of quick highlights. The first film I'd like to mention, part of our Korean cinema series, of which there are several films, is the film that won for Best Actor at the most recent Cannes Film Festival, Song Kang-ho, who many will recognize from Parasite a few years back. And this is coming from Hirokazu Koreeda, who people will recognize his name from Shoplifters, which won the Academy Award for Best International Feature a few years back. He is a Japanese filmmaker, but for the first time ever shooting in Korea with Korean actors such as Kang Ho. It is an incredible drama that is funny and serious and philosophical and humanistic. And I'll give away as little as possible. It just has so many twists and turns. It features baby peddling of sorts, the sort of underground network of people illegally trying to sell babies. But it is, while dark in subject matter, also incredibly comic, and again, more philosophical than purely melancholic or anything along those lines. So Broker's one I highly recommend. Just a little bit later that day, we also, our centerpiece screening is Women Talking.
I'm hearing such good things about that. I can't wait to see that.
Absolutely. It's the new film from Sarah Polley, has an all-star cast, Rooney Mara and Claire Foy, Jesse Buckley. And amongst this cast, Frances McDormand, who both produced and has a great role in the film. Amongst the incredible cast is Judith Ivey, who we're going to have with us, a two-time Tony winner and also quite recognizable on screens, both big and small. She'll be in for a tribute to her with the film. For those that aren't quite familiar, this is based on a book about a real-life Mennonite community and a sexual abuse scandal that sort of rocked the community. And being very tight-knit, not necessarily working much with local police or authorities, the women of the community come together and look to find a solution as their problem. At the very beginning of the film, they essentially decide they have three options. One is do nothing, which does not necessarily appeal. One is stay and fight, and one is leave. So much of the film is a very engaging debate visually told about which of these options are better or worse. And even though it is incredibly particular to the small Mennonite community, it echoes throughout many of the conversations we're having today due to the Me Too movement and in general women's treatments at large in our societies.
Wow, that's going to be powerful. Anything else on Saturday you want to talk about?
I'll just hit on maybe one or two more, maybe just one more. All the Beauty and the Bloodshed. We talked a little bit earlier about the opioid crisis. It's probably kind of the key film of the year. This is from Laura Poitras, who we'll know from Citizen Four.
Oh, that was such a good documentary, the Edward Snowden thing.
Absolutely. The Edward Snowden documentary, she won an Academy Award for it, is really sort of the top of her game. And she's covering an artist at the top of her game, who is truly an artist activist. That's Nan Golden. A groundbreaking sort of artist and photographer, and much of her efforts recently have been focused at protesting the Sackler family, the makers of OxyContin, which of course has killed more than 500,000 Americans in the opioid crisis. So it's incredibly timely and important, and has actually won the top award at the Venice Film Festival, and I believe is the first time a documentary has ever won the overall top award, not for best documentary, but best film, at the oldest film festival in the world. So really quite an accomplishment there.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right, cool. Well, as if that wasn't enough, there's still a whole nother day to close it out on Sunday, November 6th. Pick a movie or two here. Let's close it out strong.
All right, sounds good. So I'll close with a few more of our sort of high profile awardees and honorees that are coming in that day. Starting with another tribute to an actor Raul Castillo. People will know from Looking, either the HBO show or the movie that followed, We the Animals. He also had really steam-sealing roles in Cha-Cha Real Smooth and Hustle, many other films as well. And he's coming in with the movie The Inspection, which is Elegance Braddon's true life tale of himself as an African-American gay man who joined the Marines to try to set his life on course and the challenges and opportunities that offered him. It just closed the New York Film Festival to rave reviews. Is visually splendid and incredibly important storytelling. Gabrielle Union plays the mother incredibly well. And again, we'll have Raul Castillo in with that film to talk about it. A little bit later in that day, another award that we're giving out at the Chronicler Award, and this is going to a documentarian of note, and we're thrilled to have with us Sam Pollard with his newest film, Lowndes County and the Road to Black Power, which is incredibly timely, just a couple of days before the election, discussing disenfranchisement of Black voters in Alabama and Southern states in the 60s and during the height of the Civil Rights Movement. But much of what's talked about on screen, of course, is still quite pertinent to today and efforts to disenfranchise voters or limit accessibility to voting. Sam Pollard, for those who don't know his name right off the bat, for a long time was Spike Lee's editor on films like Bamboozle, Clockers. He was Oscar nominated for Four Little Girls and also co-produced those films. And then just under 10 years ago, became a director and producer in his own right, films like MLK, FBI, Citizen Ash, and now again, this new film that he'll be with to accept our Chronicler honor that day.
Very cool. Yeah, Sam Pollard, His reputation precedes him, man. I mean, MLK FBI was great, and there was Sammy Davis Jr. He's done a bunch of good stuff. Absolutely. All right. Anything else on the last day?
I'll just mention Closing Night really quickly, which is from director Sam Mendes. People will know him from, of course, American Beauty, and more recently 1917. And he's teaming up with perhaps the greatest cinematographer alive today, Roger Deakins. That's not a particularly controversial statement amongst this Country for Old Men and Cesario, and the list just goes on and on. This is a cast headlined by Olivia Colman, Michael Ward, Toby Jones, and Colin Firth, and it is a beautiful way to end the film festival because, in a nutshell, it is beautifully nostalgic tale of the role that movie theaters have in bringing together community and at a moment when we are hopefully emerging out of the pandemic and emerging strong and bringing people together for the movies. It's hard to think of a better and more fitting film to close it all out with.
Absolutely. To talking about the magic of movie going itself. And man, if you ask me, Sam Mendes doesn't really miss. I mean, you look through his filmography and I don't think there's really a bad movie of the bunch. Road to Perdition and it's Jarhead. I mean, some underrated stuff too, along with the big ones.
Yeah, even the Bond movies, Skyfall and Spectre. It's right. Has pretty incredible. And I think I agree with you. Essentially a flawless CV.
Yeah. Wow. Revolutionary Road. That was heavy, but good. Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm pretty much the guy doesn't miss. Not to mention all of his theater work before even he made American Beauty. But awesome. Well, Empire Light's going to be a great way to close it out. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us. I guess before we run, just pretend I'm not even here. Speak directly to the listeners. Say, hey, everyone, you know, come on out. You have a good time.
Sure. So yeah, I certainly hope that people will take the time if they're close by or not. Charlottesville, Virginia, not particularly far from DC. It's an easy trip. There's a train. It's a beautiful town. You can hang out in breweries and wineries when you're not watching movies. There's a lot of parties, a lot of films we haven't covered. I certainly hope that you join us for conversations, for films, many of which are going to be the buzzy titles, hitting the award scene or hard-hitting documentaries and conversations. It's really a great way to spend time with your community, learn about the world close and far away.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again, everyone. Virginia Film Festival, November 2nd through the 6th. So, hey, thanks for doing this.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, man. See you.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Jason.
Yep. Bye.